The Banner Baseball Show, Paul Mancano and Andy Koska here, coming to you with breaking news on this Friday afternoon. Andy, you're down in Sarasota. We got to talk about the fact that Jackson Holliday, the top prospect in all of baseball, will not be on the opening day roster. He was reassigned to minor league camp. The 20-year-old had an incredible spring, seemed like he was destined to be the Orioles' second baseman on opening day, and the Orioles decided to go the other way, and he will not make the team.
Correct. Yeah, this was a little bit of a surprise just based on how strong Jackson Holliday played the past, 4 weeks, especially. Here's a guy that hit .311, 950 some OPS. He played strong second base. I think the big question was, can he play second base as a natural shortstop? And he proved himself as a second baseman this spring. Apparently, didn't prove himself enough because he did not make the opening day roster. Now, he will go to AAA, and a place where he has 18 career games, which I'm, assuming that is part of the calculus here. We will talk to Michael Eisen in about an hour or so. So we will learn more about the decision-making process after that. But this was a little bit of a surprise, I would say. I definitely thought Jackson Holliday was a lock for the team after the way his at-bats progressed, and the plate appearances looked really good. He struck out a lot in the beginning of the camp, but just improved steadily over the rest of spring. Now he's going to have to wait. Luckily, he's only 20 years old, so he has a long career ahead of him, and he will be a midseason call-up candidate for sure.
Yeah, he certainly proved that he could at least hang in the clubhouse with the big leaguers. The question I have is, if Mike Elias was going to come out and say, like he did throughout the winter and leading up to spring training, that Jackson Holliday was coming to Sarasota with a legitimate chance to make the team, what else could Jackson Holliday have done to put himself head and shoulders above the rest of the competition outside of hitting .311 with an OPS around .950 and hitting a pair of homers and hitting off big leaguers, proven big leaguers like Zach Wheeler? What else could he have done? And did he really come to spring training with a legitimate chance to make the team? Because if so, there's not much else he could have proven to the front office and to Brandon Hine, the coaching staff, that he's ready.
Yeah, I'll have to echo kind of what you said. I don't know what else he could have done. This is a guy that acted every bit like a major leaguer. I mean, we asked Brandon Hyde this week, does Jackson Holliday look like a major league player to you? And Brandon Hyde said, it's hard to say he doesn't. Apparently not yet. So it's an interesting issue. My mind goes to, I'm assuming the reasons here, probably 14 strikeouts or thereabout, they're like two or three walks, probably played a role in it. Even though the Orioles made it very clear throughout camp that stats are not going to make the determination. They're going to look at the overall, overall plate appearances, things of that nature. So I guess, that is a stat that maybe played a role anyway. He very limited time at AAA. So I guess maybe that plays a role. There's also, looking at it from a roster construction standpoint, we just learned that Colton Wong, a veteran second baseman, has informed the team he will opt out of his contract. He has the right to opt out of his contract because he has more than 6 years of service time and finished last season on a minor league contract. So if he does not make the team, and the Orioles have until Sunday to decide whether he does make the team or not. But if he does not make the team, he will be opting out. Maybe that is playing a part of the calculus in that they see Colton Wong as a player they want to keep a hold of. Otherwise, Tyler Nevin has had a good spring. Maybe they see with no options for Tyler Nevin, they want to give him an extended look at the major league level as a bench player. I think it goes without saying that this is disappointing for O's fans to not have a top prospect making his debut on opening day. I mean, that was something they had been hoping for. All indications were that he would get a real opportunity at it. He did get the opportunity, obviously, this camp. He played a lot of second base too. Just for whatever reason, wasn't seen as ready for the O's on March 28th.
Yeah, and this is the second straight spring where Orioles fans were hoping, perhaps some expecting, that a top prospect would make the opening day roster. Last year it was Grayson Rodriguez. This year it's Jackson Holliday. Grayson Rodriguez, though, struggled in his 5 spring training starts a year ago. He pitched 15 and a third innings back then. That was a 7 ERA. Remember, he got sent back down right before camp. And then fate would have it that he would come right back up to the big leagues and make his big league debut in Texas because of injury. So that's a possibility for Jackson Holliday, just because he doesn't make the opening day roster. But it's just interesting because Grayson Rodriguez, you could at least make a case that he shouldn't have made the team in 2023 from a statistical standpoint. And you did mention, Andy, you know, the 15 strikeouts and just the 3 walks for Jackson Holliday. That would be a statistic that they could maybe point to and say Jackson Holliday needs a little bit more work here. But outside of that, he was hitting. He was hitting for extra base hits. He stole a couple bases as well. He was, by all accounts, having a phenomenal spring. The other roster machinations involved here, Andy, Kyle Stowers also being sent back down to minor league camp. You guys just spoke to him. He sounded, based off the comments, despondent, but also had the mindset that, look, he made the opening day roster a year ago, and it wasn't a great season. You know, he ended up back in AAA. He ended up getting hurt a couple times. So maybe reverse case here, doesn't make the opening day roster, but ends up having a better 2024 season. It's certainly an optimistic outlook for the 26-year-old outfielder.
Yeah, I mean, incredible props to Kyle Stowers, number one, to stand in front of the media. He just has some of the most disappointing news he will hear. Came in absolutely motivated to make this team, to improve on a 2023 season that was marred by injury. And yeah, he stood up and had this phenomenal outlook, and he said exactly what you just recited. I mean, he's coming into this thinking that this is absolutely not the end for Kyle Stowers. You know, he will, which is true. That's the correct takeaway from this. He will have an opportunity, if he keeps raking at the AAA level, to break through. You know, in the major leagues. Plus, you have to think. I mean, it's always a possibility that he performed at such a high level in the spring that he's going to, the Orioles will be receiving phone calls about his services in a trade at some point too. So he proved a lot, you know, this spring, 7 home runs. The power was crazy. He felt his defense was pretty good as well. You know, this is a tough thing for him to stomach, but he stood in front of us and was an absolute pro dealing with the disappointment. Expect him at some point to be back in the major leagues. But and it's just real quick, you know, jumping over to Kobe Mayo too. You know, this is a 22-year-old who had a phenomenal spring and really opened a lot of eyes with how he performed defensively at third base. Was incredibly strong, made a lot of strides in that department, and then also the bat was as good as you have always seen it with him, you know, high ranked prospect himself. You know, we did not get a chance to talk to him before this news was announced from the Orioles, but I expect Kobe Mayo to, you know, if he goes into AAA with and does anything like he has been doing in the past, expect Kobe Mayo to be a midseason call up guy. This spring, I think he had a 969 OPS, 350 some batting average. Just a phenomenal spring from a young player as well. So it goes beyond just Jackson Holliday, obviously, for good reason. You know, with the hype in the top prospect ranking, he gets, you know, kind of the centerpiece of this discussion and many discussions. But there were other moves here. You know, Heston Kjerstad didn't have as good of a spring, but, you know, we've seen him at the major league level briefly. He was also optioned. So there's a number of guys that didn't make the team that, and now it leaves the Orioles with deciding, you know, you look at that last roster spot, you know, you imagine Ramon Arias makes it and, you know, probably Colton Cowser could make it. Colton Cowser still here, has had a great spring himself. There's really one spot for the likes of, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, so hopefully I don't miss anybody, but you got Colton Wong, Tyler Nevin, Ryan McKenna. Nick Maton, I think, is still around. I forget. You can correct me on that one, Paul. But it's a more veteran group. It's maybe not as flashy of a group either, and it will be probably a little bit disappointing for fans. But these are major leaguers in their own right, and so you never want to discount what these guys are capable of. Here you are with, Tyler Nevin has performed really well this spring, and he's still only 26 years old. I think, it can get lost in the shuffle sometimes that Tyler is still a very young player in his own right. So could be a decent, versatile bench piece if that is the way the Orioles go. But there is some, disappointment for O's fans, I'm sure, just reading Twitter comments, which are usually on the extreme. I've seen it, I've heard it, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Stowers, it's more frustrating, I think, personally for Kyle Stowers, just because he's the oldest of this group, 26 years old. He debuted back in 2022. He played a little bit in 2023. He's got some big league experience. He hits 3 home runs in a spring training game, and it's just not enough. But he had such an uphill battle because he had to outplay Colton Cowser, who's the number 14 overall prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, and the former number 5 overall pick, and Heston Kerstad, who is another left-handed hitter, who's the former number 2 overall pick and played in the big leagues at the end of the season and was on the postseason roster. I think Stowers definitely outplayed Kerstad, and Kerstad got off to a very slow start. He took him a long time to get his first extra base hit, and I think he finished spring with just 1 extra base hit, a double. I don't think he hit a single homer in spring. So he struggled in his 35 Grapefruit League at-bats. And Colton Cowser just took the ball and ran with it. What a spring Colton Cowser had, hitting .325 in 16 games. And his ability to play center field put him head and shoulders above the rest. But it's frustrating because Cowser, of those 3 guys, is the youngest. He's 24, Kerstad's 25, and Stowers is 26. But it appears at this moment like Cowser has the edge, and especially given his defensive versatility. You mentioned Ryan McKenna as one guy who might be an option for the Orioles. We thought, because of the Orioles' seeming commitment to Jorge Mateo getting outfield playing time, that the Orioles were going to go with 4 true outfielders, and Jorge Mateo was going to be their utility guy who could play as a 5th outfielder. But Ryan McKenna is still here, and Ryan McKenna is out of options. So maybe the Orioles are looking to make Ryan McKenna the 5th outfielder on this team.
Yeah, it's absolutely an option. I kind of thought with Jorge Mateo's right-handed bat as well, that with the ability to play center field there would maybe push Ryan McKenna out. We don't know, obviously, what the final roster is going to look like. We might not know for a couple more days. But Ryan McKenna's still in the mix as a right-handed bat off the bench. Could see getting the edge there just because he is a righty. Jorge Mateo is a right-hander too, which is why I kind of thought that Mateo's added versatility, or he's played outfield before, but just the focus on it this spring especially was going to bump another player and make it 4 true outfielders with 7 infielders, and one of those infielders being kind of an infield outfield combo guy. It's still possible that they go with that route with Mateo as that infield outfield combo guy, and then you have somebody like Tyler Nevin who can be a bench bat, play corner outfielders, corner infield. Interesting, whatever way they go, it will be interesting. I do think it's telling. Yesterday Brandon Hyde was asked, I forget who was asking the question, it was somebody, but they made the assumption that Tyler Nevin wasn't making this team, and worded a question like, he's had a really good spring even though he's not making the team, and Brandon Hyde cut him off and said, not making the team, he has a chance to make this team, and chance indeed he does. And I just a real quick comment just on Jackson Holliday again. I find it interesting that the parallels they emphasized with Grayson Rodriguez a lot last year in spring, the process and making strides, even if the results necessarily weren't there, they weren't necessarily going to judge on the results. At the end of the day, the results weren't there, and he seemed to be judged by the results. Here we are with Jackson Holliday, and Brandon Hyde made it clear that the results weren't necessarily what they were going to judge him solely on. It was but the process and how he handled himself defensively and things of that nature. The results were there. And so I'm curious what the variable was that meant him yep. not making the opening day roster. Just it's as you mentioned earlier, it's a little bit different than the Grayson Rodriguez situation of last yep. year, where you know, at least, you know, the O's could point to spring training starts and saying, hey, he struggled at some points. This one, I guess you could point to the strikeouts, which I'm sure is part of the reason. But you know, otherwise impressed, as did many of these guys. You know, I don't want to minimize what Cody Mayo did. I don't want to minimize Kyle Stowers, Heston Kjerstad, Connor Norby. All these prospects had good springs, and it's a logjam.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the Orioles could have gotten, had they kept Jackson Holliday on their opening day roster and he had gone on to win Rookie of the Year, you know, they could have gotten draft pick compensation that we saw them get with Gunnar Henderson when he won Rookie of the Year last year. So the Orioles were making a decision that they were not willing to take that risk in adding Jackson Holliday. But I think the least palatable option for a lot of Orioles fans, and this is no offense to Tyler Nevin, but it would be Tyler Nevin in making this opening day roster, only because he has a career war, according to Baseball Reference, of -0.8. He struggled with the Orioles 2 years ago. He struggled with the Tigers last year. He was acquired in a trade for cash considerations. I know he's got fantastic AAA numbers, but we just have not seen it at the big league level yet. And he has theoretical defensive versatility between third and first in the outfield. But I think Orioles fans would have a really hard time accepting Tyler Nevin on this team over Jackson Holliday, only because he has not proven it in the big leagues yet in his career.
Yeah, obviously, Nevin, you mentioned his AAA numbers, and they are fantastic. And his major league numbers haven't necessarily corresponded with that.
Right.
We're assuming here we don't know if Nevin's making the team. He's just one of the guys remaining in this.
No, absolutely, yeah.
But you know, maybe the Orioles see that, you know, maybe he turned a corner. He's been performing well this spring. So a lot of interesting stuff down here in Sarasota. You know,
You'll keep us apprised on thebaltimorebanner.com, or you can subscribe $1 for 6 months. And of course, at AF Koska is his Twitter handle. Andy, thanks so much for taking the time out of your very busy day on this Friday afternoon. And let us know what you hear from Brandon Hyde, Mike Elias over the coming days as they finalize this opening day roster.
Thank you, Matt.
That's Andy Koska joining us from Sarasota. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the Baltimore Banner and subscribe to the Banner Baseball Show. Anywhere that you get your podcasts, give us a like, a thumbs up, rate us 5 stars, all that good stuff. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Andy Koska, I'm Paul Mancano, and we'll catch you next time.